This is Chuck, your new career coach from Careers Unlimited. Am I speaking with Mr. Pat?
Hey, yeah, this is him. So yeah, I need to get a job again. I'm lactose intolerant, and last place I worked at was this bro-y startup that made us work 60-hour weeks but gave us free yogurt. And then when I brought up that they were sexually harassing my coworkers, they fired me, said I didn't fit in with the company culture. The CEO said I was disrespectful and not a team player, apparently.
Oh, wow. Well, you should have just shut up like the rest of the people working at these hellholes. But it sounds like you need to update that resume of yours then, huh?
Yeah, I could definitely use a hand on that. And I heard this service was free, so, you know, I thought I'd check it out.
Oh, great. Well, let's go through your resume here. I see you like to rock the boat a little bit at some of your past jobs. Let's look at them. It says you were only at Toboggan Industries for about 3 months. What happened there?
Well, funny story. That place was raided by the FBI and Fish and Wildlife. Apparently, they were using lead and baby seals in the toboggans, crazy enough.
Oh, well, that wasn't really your fault, but you should really probably stay at a job for at least 3 years before moving on to your next journey. Let's look at the position you had before that.
Right on. Well, I used to work at this gas station for a few years.
Uh-huh. And why did you leave that position?
I think a better question is, why did I even start working there in the first place? Have you ever worked in a place like that, dealing with the generally awful public all the time?
Oh, no. In fact, I got this job through my cousin Vinny, who owns the place, and he hired me after he paid for my college, actually, so.
Well, some nice cousin you got there. Must be pretty nice. But yeah, I'm mostly looking for a job where my labor isn't exploited and my rights aren't violated. You know, basic stuff.
Well, I know it's a worker's market out there right now, but that might be a stretch in this country, those things that you're asking for. But I want to ask you, what job do you feel you excelled at the most?
You know, honestly, when you bring it up, I was a bouncer once at this strip club. I hate customer service, so it was kind of nice doing, I guess you could say, customer disservice instead. You know, the new condos and the gentrifier cupcake store they built next door got the place shut down, unfortunately.
Oh, I love cupcakes. Have you thought about working there? Well, I can get you started on your exciting new job quest. I see you don't have any violent criminal convictions, your drug test came clean, you passed the skill assessment and personality quiz, and have a great credit score, which is really none of my business or even matters at any job. But is there anything else that might look bad to employers that I should know about?
Well, there is this show that I do.
Mr. Pat, I can't make out. Hello? Hello?
Welcome to Kiss My Working Class, the show where Pat finds a job, and while he's doing that, we'll also break down what doesn't work with American work culture and discover what we can do to make it work. I'm your co-host, Yusuf.
And I'm Pat, the other co-host. Since I've been looking for a job lately, we're going to talk about online job searching, mainly why it's flawed and about as fun as crying yourself to sleep while eating a bag of poisonous spiders.
Ooh, that bad, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Well, hopefully we can discover on the show what we can do to force some change and make it just better when you're applying for a job online, because I'm sure you're not the only one out there who feels this way if you're looking for a job. But before we get into online job searching, a quick word from today's sponsor.
This episode of Kiss My Working Class is brought to you today by Indeedy. Are you tired of too many people applying for the job you posted?
How the hell am I supposed to read 3 pages of things I specifically asked from applicants?
Well, then you need Indeedy, the only job site where people pay you to apply for your jobs.
I didn't think of that. This is the greatest business model ever.
It is. Just take a listen to some of our happy customers.
Before I used Indeedy, I had 1,000 people apply to the same role we forgot to delete months ago. And after we decided to make another employee basically work 2 jobs, but I didn't get a single dollar from it. With Indeedy, I can make $10 from each applicant.
Well, this is the best scam, I mean service ever. Yeah, I noticed the apartment complex near my mansion wasn't actually leasing any new apartments. They were just taking application fees and rejecting all the applicants. I'm glad I'm able to do that too now. Even applicants love it.
My resume was rejected so many times I had to take out a payday loan, but I'm sure it'll pay off. It just has to. Please, please.
Indeedy. It's not a scam. It's a career.
And thanks again to our sponsor, Indeedy. It's not a scam. Sadly, though, there are a lot of job sites like this. It's among the things and the many issues with online job searching that we're going to delve into in this episode.
Online job ads, although they give people access to tons of potential job opportunities, they actually tilt the balance even more for employers and end up being a total waste of time for job seekers the vast majority of the time.
A lot of times, it's a wasteland. It's full of scams, broken dreams, way unrealistic expectations and requirements, secrecy, manipulation. It's sure to worsen your imposter syndrome and leave you feeling worthless. It might even push you to pay for bullshit educational or career coach services that you don't need. It's not going to help you.
There's a ton of free information out there about how to navigate online job searching. You can just fire up YouTube or Google for tips. Most of the times, you're going to end up landing on a site with a thumbnail of a smiling job applicant handing a resume across a desk. But a problem with a lot of the advice out there showing you how to navigate the digital job search landscape is the process is very flawed. How so? Well, let's break it down.
While sparing you all a history of the internet, in the past, companies had to post job ads, often in local newspapers when they had a position to fill, or, and they still do this, put a sign on the door saying that they're hiring. Or they had to actually go and work for it and actually recruit or poach people from other companies.
Eventually, the internet did come along and allowed companies to cast a wider net and save money on recruiting and scouting for talent. For job seekers, assuming that they have access to the internet, they can apply for jobs without having to spend money on printing or mailing their resumes, cover letters, and other material. It sounds like a win-win, yeah?
No, it's not. When companies started relying on sites like Indeed, Monster, LinkedIn, and even their own websites, it caused a lot of problems. The biggest is hundreds, sometimes thousands of people will apply to the same job.
And another major problem, since companies sometimes have a large pool of applicants to go through, it's allowed them to add unrealistic expectations and requirements, like asking for 5 years of experience for an entry-level job that pays far below what you're worth.
And if you've ever applied online, you're lucky to get an automated message just saying, thanks, but we found someone else. More often, you'll just be ghosted and won't hear a peep.
And to add insult to injury, all this happens even though you spent all afternoon doing what you're taught to do in job searching, you know, like tweaking your resume, writing a meaningful cover letter, just kind of individualizing your resume for each specific job that you're applying for. And it can really take a long time to tailor your resume for each job.
But let's say there's a job that you see online, you really want it. You've ignored the requirement asking for 5 years experience, knowing that your 3.5 years is more than enough to do this job well. But when it comes down to submit everything, you're greeted with this clunky application portal that makes you put in all your information and job history again that's already in your resume. It's redundant, it takes hours, and it's just a time suck.
And to take even more of your precious time, some companies have even required applicants to take essentially meaningless personality surveys and skill tests, especially those applying for creative and coding jobs. And that's not even including having to create an online account with each individual company. Yet another username and password to remember, even though you're only going to log in basically once to apply for the job, maybe again to check for updates if they're nice enough to even have that option.
And this has led to a new kind of gatekeeper aside from the companies themselves. And you guessed it, AI and robots. A lot of companies use artificial intelligence to filter people's applications for specific skills and experiences. So if, say, you have all the necessary experience and skills, but you didn't bother to put in that you know how to use Microsoft Word or a broom, too bad, you're not getting the job.
Along with the uphill battle of cutting through the noise on an online job post, job seekers now have to jump through the hurdles and figure out how to please humanless algorithms.
And for companies, this means they're probably leaving talented and hardworking people hanging and alienating people in some cases because a company lists these steep qualifications because they're looking for the perfect applicant, which doesn't exist. And it definitely doesn't exist at the salary that they want to offer this person.
And for job searchers like me, it means just having to jump through yet more hoops and take more time to apply. And it raises the question, why should job seekers go through the extra lengths for each job they apply to if they're going to just be ignored and ghosted?
And overall, the balance of power is heavily tilted toward employers on online job sites because that's where these sites make their money from, not from job searchers. They don't make it from us. And if this keeps up, companies and workers alike are going to be worse off because, hey, Pat, your phone's ringing. Are you going to get that, man?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Sorry. That looks like it's my job coach calling for the fifth time today.
Jesus, he's needy.
Yeah, really. Just sorry, you guys. This will just take a second. Hello.
Hey, is this Mr. Pat?
You know it is, Chuck. What's going on? I'm kind of in the middle of something here.
Oh, wow. Sorry to interrupt you, and I apologize. You're my sixth victim. I mean, the client today. I'm calling because I noticed you applied for Armadillo Industries, but you didn't list which elementary school you attended. I also see you only put down 15 of the 17 references they wanted for this role. Let's see, it's an assistant dirt shoveler? What's going on with that?
I mean, 17 seems quite excessive for dirt shoveling, and I barely really know 15 people as it is, if I'm being honest. So, you know, I just put down who I knew. And I think it's a given that I went to elementary school, isn't it? You know, I also saw on Glassdoor, after it's been 2 fucking hours, that they're owned by a 3-time convicted fraudster, so I stopped applying for the job.
Oh, well, as your coach, I need to tell you, it's important you finish your job applications when you start to increase your success in reeling in that big fish, and so I can get my commission.
Okay, I have a few other places I'm applying for as well, so we'll see if I can get that in today. Anyway, I gotta get going, Chuck. I'm really in the middle of something important right now.
Oh, yes. Oh, so sorry to bother you. I'll let you get to it then. Please feel free to call me anytime.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Gotta go. Bye.
Damn, Pat. Dude, there's something up with that guy. Something about him. He just seems off.
Yeah, but I need a job and all the help I can get, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. Anyways, now that we've broken down the issues and the main problems with looking for a job online on these sites, let's get a little more into why this system is broken for everyone involved.
Amongst the biggest parts of it really is the power dynamic on most of these job sites like Indeed, Monster. Basically, they make money from the employers and advertisers.
They're not making money from people who are looking for jobs.
So they're not trying to cater and help them out.
I mean, they're just trying to do, I think, enough so people will keep coming back, because people are obviously finding jobs on some of these sites, but it is such a shit shoot in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I mean, I found jobs on these sites before. I mean, usually they're, I'm not going to lie, pretty bottom of the barrel type jobs.
I mean, we all got to do what we got to do, but if you're actually looking for a decent job on one of these, it is such a shit shoot. Part of this problem is because their priorities lie with these companies. And yeah, they need to send them enough people that they'll get decent applicants. But I wonder how many times on a site like Monster or Indeed, how many of those people coming from there are actually getting these jobs versus just somebody that they know. Or the problem is their incentives are kind of skewed, because it's free. Like sites like Indeed, they're free to post for job searchers, but where they kind of get their money from is when they upsell them on shit, like giving them access to things like people's resumes and things like that, being able to post their jobs in a prominent place.
Yeah, probably being amongst the top replies when for a job search, when you type in, I want to be an accountant in this area. Like, okay, these are the top ones that are showing up. Because, I mean, people, they're going to apply for like maybe 10 in a day, you know, really put in time and effort to tailor the resume. And then maybe they'll repeat the process tomorrow and not even realize we're applying for the same ones all over again because they're showing on top again.
And in many ways, because that's the model and the business model they operate on, they have an incentive to run ads on their page. So it's quantity certainly over quality. I get all these annoying emails from some of these sites and they're like, oh, check out this job. And it might be a job that I might be interested in. But then I go and look at it and it doesn't even say when it was posted. It just says 30 plus days old. So I don't know if you can't tell how old this is. This could have been posted months ago, just never got deleted.
They're still looking for the position, or why hasn't it been filled after months?
I need to point out that old adage, if you're not paying for a product, then you are the product.
I compare it a lot to like dating. It's like, well, do match.com. You pay for it, you'll get better prospects, but it's like, what are you going to do? Pay $5 for each job you post at?
Right. You shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah. Especially when you see these nightmare posts of like, oh, I applied for 400 jobs and gotten hardly a call back. I'm like, well, imagine how much money that would be to do that.
Because this stuff is existing online, it kind of really leads to this question, like with a lot of the big social media sites, is what are they doing with all this information that we're putting into them? Because often you can put in your resume and your experience.
Can this information be available to maybe more unscrupulous, kind of scammier type jobs and companies that are applying at these sites?
Yeah, or they sell the shit to some big company. It's a huge problem. And there's no transparency in that. But speaking of transparency as well, there's a lot of non-transparency when you're looking at a job ad, especially online. I mean, we do a dumb job post of the week, which is coming up later, but they're all littered with these buzzwords that if you read between the lines, they kind of tell you something. So let's go through a few, actually. Like if you're looking at a job ad and you see that it's a quote, fast-paced environment, that usually means you're working at a crazy pace that's almost unrealistic, and most people can't handle it for a full-time job.
Especially at a lot of factory manufacturing roles that I've had where, yeah, you're just going to be pumping product nonstop. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Oh, it's fast-paced environment. Fast-paced. That's awesome. It'll make the day go fast, but at that point, it really doesn't because you're just making thousands and thousands of things a day.
Dude, yeah. And a lot of like media jobs too, writing gigs, a lot of blog sites where it's just cranking it out. You're writing like 10, 12 articles a day. And it's a digital sweatshop basically, and kind of like manufacturing. I mean, it's just as taxing, maybe not on your body, but definitely on your mind if you're having to just crank out all this shit. So fast-paced environment. And then on those lines where it says something like applicants wear many hats, you're working someone else's job. Two or three on one salary.
Yeah, you're going to have just a wide range of skills that you should be making more money for. Like another one is flexible schedule, or like, oh, so I can kind of come in late. It's not a big deal if I run into traffic, or I can maybe leave a little early. It's like, no, if anything, we're going to call you to come in early, stay late, come in on the weekends quite often, and you're going to have to deal with it.
You have to be flexible. Another good one I always see is like startup atmosphere. I've seen job ads where it says it's a startup atmosphere and they're like 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah, they just haven't gotten their bearings together and they're still very disorganized. Another one like that where it's like, we're, you know, tight knit. We're like a family. We're close. We're, you know, a lot of that, especially if they go through a lot of overturn with people that, you know, yeah, can be probably very clicky. You better fall in line with them or out the door.
I know everyone has different levels of relationships with their family, but for better or worse, you can't really fire your family. We're doing some belt tightening. You got to go, Uncle.
Sorry, there's just not enough room in a family van. Really, I think the worst of all these is a competitive salary. They don't tell you what it is generally, but it's competitive.
There was one survey on this. It was just done on LinkedIn or some shit. So it was just kind of a poll, take it for what it is. But they did a little heat kind of watching people's eyes as they were scanning a job post. And the number one thing people looked at was salary, if it was included. That's what people want to know first and foremost, like before I do anything. And what you should do before you apply to any job is, are you going to pay me what I feel like I'm worth?
Yeah, right. Why do you want to work for us? I want to know how much you're paying me.
It's just part of this dumb cat and mouse game that's so outdated. Just say what you'll pay and let people decide for themselves. If you're only offering $12 an hour for a job that requires a master's degree, fucking say it. Don't waste people's time. Because if I had a master's degree and a ton of experience and I saw $12 an hour, I would skip on it. And maybe you should reassess things as a company.
Yeah. And it can definitely leave the door open for things like, you know, women tend to make 70 some cents on a dollar. And it can lead it open to some very discriminatory reasons for not paying people.
Yeah, you need to negotiate your salary at most jobs, and you can. If you've gone through all this processes, they've offered you a job, it's just kind of brass tacks talking salary, and you see that you're way the fuck far apart, that's so much time that you lost that you could have been looking for something else. Just say what you're going to pay. I can see somebody in that situation thinking, they're offering me this job. They're doing me a solid by giving me it. And I really need a job right now. I'm just going to take it. And those people either, because when you do need a job, I mean, you put a lot of those anxieties on the back burner.
Well, yeah, especially at a first job interview or when you're finalizing that job, you don't really want to, you know, start things or make things awkward by, you know, having this such a conversation like that. Like, oh, I think I should make this. And we think this. And it's like, it's already kind of putting you on iffy footing right away.
Yeah. I mean, job searching really does favor the outgoing in a lot of cases. And that also is a bit unfair.
Especially knowing what your healthcare or health insurance benefits are going to cover, especially if you have like a condition,
yeah,
but it's not even covered by their plan. And like, oh yeah, when you get hired on, we'll really kind of give you more details about it. And then you realize, oh, this doesn't really cover my medication I need.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Can't be here.
Even if you go on like Glassdoor, and you can see sometimes people will just say like our deductibles are shit. You can get kind of a sense of it. But if you need a specific prescription and it's not covered or it's a fortune to pay for, you're not going to find that out until after you started.
Meanwhile, you don't have health insurance and you're kind of, you know, you can't keep going without it forever.
Yeah, you need a job. You're going to be like, I'll just take fucking anything. And that's how these companies get people, because they're fucking desperate and they've already gotten accepted.
All these options and just a wider net of applicants that these companies get to look through, they end up adding like a lot of these just unnecessary hoops to jump through just to somewhat wheedle down all these people.
Like, if you're serious, you'll take this stupid personality quiz that doesn't really tell you anything. And if you're any reasonable person, you're gonna answer it in a certain way. I've definitely taken some of these like personality assessments that are like, how do you handle a conflict? And the options are like, by screaming at people and tipping over desks when you're angry, or do you calmly and articulately talk to that person? I don't know how this is helping you decide on who you want to hire. Another thing that I see a lot of companies do is skill assessment tests for certain kind of jobs. They'll have you do some actual work, especially in like writing and media stuff. Like, they'll have you do like an article. They're working for free.
Hey, why don't you go run the cash register for a half hour and we'll see how you are. That could have been better. Oh, hey, it's Bill. He's back from his dentist appointment. You can leave now.
We didn't think you opened the cash register quiet enough, so we're not going to move forward with your application. You can see if somebody has the chops and the skills for a job and who doesn't. I know that they're trying to just weed out people by seeing who takes the time to do all this shit, but there is got to be a better way to do this.
To realize that people are a good fit for jobs instead of just a lot of the times, really, it's just HR not knowing the role because they don't work that role. And then they just kind of put in these ridiculous experience requirements and qualifications and years of experience and certain skill sets that really have very little to do with the job.
Like, there's no backstop if it's just like the backstop is HR. So wanting somebody with a master's and 8 years experience or 30K, just like, I don't know, some of these HR people are probably like, that must be the competitive salary.
Oh, we're getting 800 people applying and we got to do something to lower it. So let's just have this insane thing that people wouldn't, you know, bother doing. Someone's desperate enough to take it.
But I think the problem when companies act like this, where they build this tower of requirements that they want somebody to have, you really alienate a lot of people. They're basically creating a wish list of requirements. But I argue that this has had a huge impact on recruiting diversity. There have been studies on this that women and other groups that lack representation in the workplace more than often won't apply for a job if it has this tall list of requirements and experience needed. After George Floyd's murder, all these companies came out saying, we're going to do better with the diversity in this place. We value diversity, which they don't. It was just a lot of virtue signaling.
Make sure to add the hashtag so it gets on the Twitter.
They're still doing the same shit with their ads. And that's what people see. That's your first impression of a place, usually, if you haven't heard of them.
There's other studies that show that companies, a lot of them, they will still hire people that don't tick all of these boxes, even though they feel like they don't qualify because they have to just be this absolute perfect specimen of a human being.
Yeah, it's like you're asking for somebody who was cooked up in a lab, basically.
Well, 800 people already applied, according to this little thing here. There's no point in me doing it. Someone's bound to have had that.
I could see just a bunch of people that are spraying and praying, just kind of throwing it out there. And then there's some people that are taking the time to do the meaningful things. I don't blame people for doing that. I blame companies for putting this shit on a public facing site that almost anyone has access to, assuming they have access to the internet, and inviting anybody and everybody to apply for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's this one study done in 2019 where 84% of HR managers, they reported that the company was open to hiring an employee whose skills can actually be developed through training, but it really doesn't seem like that, especially when it's like required 5 years of this degree. I'm like, oh, I have maybe an associate's in like 2 years of experience. I never heard of this specific program. Maybe this is, I'm not going to bother. 600 people already applied.
Okay, so it really raises a lot of red flags because it's like, on one hand, they're doing this thing where, yeah, they'll take somebody who doesn't have all the experience that they put in their wish list. So they're doing one thing and saying another thing. Why is that necessary? Why don't you just be transparent about who you want, what you're looking for, or better yet, just keep it open-ended and actually look at the people who genuinely are interested in working with you? Because there's people who do want to work at your company. Maybe they like it. Maybe they like doing that type of work. They'll probably be a good fit. It just sets up this really bad relationship from the start.
Yeah, because you're just, yeah, you're not being already before I'm working for you. You're not being clear with your objectives and what you need. And I don't want to feel like I don't know what I'm doing here, actually. I just don't know.
Right. What kind of a relationship that starts on lies and manipulations lasts? Any kind of relationship.
These misleading job posts are just a scourge that needs to be changed. But all this job search talk and us looking for jobs, it's just got me wiped down, exhausted.
Kind of just tired hearing about it and hearing from you and what you're going through.
Yeah, it can just definitely take a toll on your spirit and self-worth to be rejected potentially hundreds of times before you get one call back. And then, you know, since we're not working in the middle of this weekday afternoon, do you want to watch some TV or something? I'm not sure if there's really anything good right now, but I just kind of need to tune out for a second, reset my brain.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, that sounds good. Here, hand me that remote. I haven't watched daytime TV in so long. Yeah, let's see what's on.
In the year, what about this one? Amazonia
Incorporated. It kind of looks depressing, but somewhat familiar. Have we seen this before?
Yeah, probably. Let's see what else is on. Ooh, how about this?
Oh, yeah, I love daytime court shows. Yeah, let's give this one a shot.
Hell yeah, let's do it.
Mid-afternoon on Judge Moody's Court, Jeff, a job seeker, is suing Jobco Enterprises for posting a false job posting. Let's listen in. Hear ye, hear ye. The court is now in session with the Honorable Judge Moody presiding.
Thank you, thank you. You may be seated. So I see we have yet another false job description lawsuit in front of the court. Let's hear it, gentlemen.
Thank you, Your Honor. Jeff from the offense. I applied for a job recently that states that it's a fun place to work at, which is not true at all, Your Honor. We have parking lot footage of a worker crying in their car during their work break.
Objection! We don't have any cameras anywhere on the premises because we're too cheap to make our workers feel safe.
It wasn't from a parking lot camera, Your Honor. It was from an employee's personal TikTok.
Sustained, move it along.
The job posting stated that the position has a flexible schedule as a benefit for the applicant as well. But Your Honor, we know that flexible schedules really only benefit the company. You're being forced to stay late, come in early, and come in on off days while neglecting your personal life. It's obviously not a benefit.
But we offer overtime for anyone working past 40 hours. That's a great benefit in and of itself.
Objection. Overtime pay is the law, not a benefit.
He's right, asshole. Any more stunts like that and I'll hold you in contempt. Sir, please continue.
Thank you. Next, Your Honor. The job posting stated having a competitive wage, yet they're only offering $11 an hour. You know, to be frank, that's a bullshit wage, Your Honor.
Objection!
Overruled.
And furthermore, the posting stated a 4-year related degree and 5 years experience as requirements for the job. Your Honor, the job is basic copy and pasting data entry and answering phone work. You don't need all that experience and a degree.
Well, Your Honor, we want to hire the best copy pasters in town.
Wait your turn. Any more outbursts like that and I'll copy and paste you into a jail cell.
And Your Honor, the defendant claims their workforce to be like a family. That's a lie. Everyone in management that works there are backstabbing, passive-aggressive, and petty. Listen to this catty water cooler conversation between two supervisors about a worker that had taken 2 maternity leaves in their first 3 years of unemployment.
Well, haven't you watched The Kardashians or The Sopranos? We're still a family, even though we're dysfunctional.
They don't put up with dysfunction at Olive Garden. I will not put up with dysfunction in my courtroom. You are now in contempt of court, asshole. Try me one more time. Please continue, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Also, they want 5 years of experience in the Office Talk chat program. And take a look at this. This here is the official patent paperwork showing that Office Talk has only been in existence for 2 years and 4 months as of the job posting, and my client has more than enough experience in other similar chat programs that function exactly the same.
Your Honor, I've done this job forever. I can't keep up with every new Tac Talk or any of these things that these millennial kids are using these days.
Objection. I am not a kid. I am in my 30s.
Sustained. You are on your last leg, sir.
And the defendant's job posting also stated they're hiring immediately, but they took a week to call me back after I put in my application. Another week had passed then before I had an extremely great interview with them, and another week had passed after that before I had to personally call them back and be strung along for another 6 business days before receiving a non-personalized email saying I wasn't a good fit, which is not the case.
What a complete waste of time. I bet you had to get like 4 passwords because who in their right mind would memorize login information for some random job that you applied for once, right? All right, I think I've seen enough here. Will the defendant please rise? Do you see this book in my hand?
Yes, Your Honor. Ow!
For the crime of posting the worst job description, I sentence you to 10 years of hard labor in the studio basement without parole, no PTO, no cost of living raises. Bailiff, will you please tase and pepper spray the defendant on the way out?
It'll be my honor, Your Honor.
Holy shit, that was crazy, dude. I can't believe that. What did we just watch?
Yeah, man, you never heard of Judge Moody? He really is a working class hero.
Oh shit, it's 5. We better hit up the news before we miss it. Here, let's give me the remote. Yeah, hang on. Where's the remote? Oh, here it is.
That's right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I like threw it through the TV at this guy almost. Sorry. I know you don't got a job, so
yeah, don't break my TV.
Yeah,
I know. I need that.
Sorry, I just got really pumped up. He threw the book at him. God, love it. Daytime TV's really come a long way. Anyway, let's check out the news. Tonight, Alex Jones is no longer off the hook.
Plus, if you're going to hire scabs, you better have insurance.
Workhorse Action News starts now. Our top story tonight, conspiracy theorist and unsuccessful supplement slinger Alex Jones got his ass handed to him in federal court. A judge ruled that he will have to pay damages to the families of the Sandy Hook Elementary School after calling the 2012 mass shooting a giant hoax.
Critics say the ruling is yet another example of the judicial system silencing maniacs. In other news, a bleary-eyed and angry public got a much-needed relief from Facebook after the site went dark for nearly 6 hours. Surveys show that during the blackout, kindness and compassion rose 300,000,000% across the United States and the rest of the world. The outage came as the social media giant faced backlash over a former employee's damning unfriending of the company after she testified before a mostly clueless Congress. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said in a brief interview with Workhorse Action News that he plans to hold the employees responsible for the blackout by Facebook bullying them until they quit.
Well, fried chicken giant Raising Cane's works toward hitting 10,000 new employees over the next 2 months, they've sent hundreds of their corporate office workers to work directly at restaurants. This is one of the many implementations that Raising Cane's has utilized to help offset the lack of workers and applicants, including cutting operation hours, dine-in service, and mobile ordering in many restaurants. They're also investing $70 million into employee wages. One corporate employee, after refusing to be a burger flipper, was let go upon the realization that he didn't even know the Raising Cane's menu and what was on it. Which is weird, because it's pretty simple. It's fried chicken.
Yeah, it's chicken fingers. Yeah. That's all they have.
Dumbass.
Meanwhile, John Deere is trying to break up a strike at several of its plants by replacing unionized workers with scabs. More than 10,000 workers at 14 John Deere plants across the U.S. took the picket line recently to push for higher wages, among other improvements. But rather than paying workers more, the company instead used salaried amateurs to work a sometimes dangerous job.
And it's gone as well as you can expect. On the morning of the strike, a salaried worker crashed a tractor into a utility pole. After realizing the jobs are far from being unskilled, the scabs, who are salaried workers for John Deere, have decided to unionize. Meanwhile, OSHA has set up a temporary field office inside John Deere's plants to just make things easier for themselves.
Also, Ohio has recently issued the Ohio Vax 2 initiative in an effort to get young people vaccinated. Any student from Ohio that is aged 12 to 25 and has received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine is qualified to possibly receive scholarships up to $100,000. The scholarship money can be used at any Ohio college or vocational school. Seems that throwing money into higher education is always the answer. In other unrelated news, the American student loan debt is currently over $1.5 trillion and does not seem to be going away anytime soon.
A major Hollywood strike that would have seen 60,000 behind-the-scenes workers was averted. The International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, which represents entertainment industry workers, say members are subjected to excessive work hours, unlivable pay, and little time for a reasonable rest, including meal breaks and time off between marathon working days. Ahead of the strike, though, an 11th-hour deal was struck, which dodged the potential first-ever walkout. Following the news, Los Angeles landlords, seeing a greedy opportunity, have begun raising rent by 3,000% to counteract the progress made by the new deal.
On October 8th, President Joe Biden officially became the first president to issue a proclamation to commemorate Indigenous Peoples Day on October 11th. Though it doesn't do away with Columbus Day as an official federal holiday, the proclamation hopes to shift the focus to the many contributions made by Native people while also reflecting on the atrocities of the past. Biden has mentioned to Christopher Columbus enthusiasts that if they want to celebrate a racist rapist that has stolen everything he owns, they should instead look to celebrate June 14th for no particular reason.
I wonder why that date. Maybe look it up.
Google or something.
Another news from California. Incarcerated students in California State Prison have just received college degrees. It was part of a Cal State Prison BA graduation initiative. So far, 37 inmates have earned bachelor's degrees in communications. Unfortunately, the massive debt they took out will see them serve 40 more years, this time in a debtor's prison. Not like that communications degree was going to get them a job really anyway.
And finally, thousands of travelers were restrained over Indigenous Peoples Day weekend, following widespread cancellations across major U.S. airlines. The cancellation included more than 1,400 Southwest flights.
The company denies that pilots had staged a sick out, despite the union representing pilots saying otherwise. They say that pilots called in protest of the company not bringing back pilots who were put on leave during the pandemic. Union leaders for Southwest say the sick out was not in protest of the COVID vaccine mandate.
But Republican Senator Ted Cruz, who didn't get the memo, blames the COVID vaccine mandate for the delays. The Texas Republican, upset that he couldn't flee to Mexico to avoid his work, hold an about face and say he's now okay with people not working if they're unvaccinated.
And it seems we're having some technical difficulties. It appears Alex Jones has come into the studio after yelling people in the park all day with a megaphone. Looks like he's going back to his humble roots.
Hey, since I need the cash, I thought I'd come in here to see if anyone wants any of these supplements that keep your tap water from turning you gay.
Alex, no thanks, man. That's not even true at all either. How'd you get into the studio?
The American people let me in because they want the truth.
Well, hey, Alex, we gotta go. The show's almost over. Do you need some bus money or something? I know you're broke and kind of on your last limbs of relevance.
That's not even remotely true at all, but yeah, sure, I could use the money.
Yeah, I thought so. And that's about all the time we have for Workhorse Action News. Facts that give a fuck. And coming up next, the dumb job post of the week.
Hey, this is only 12 cents, you cheap communist. The bus is $1.50.
Hey, take it or leave it, Alex.
Fine. I'm liberal, anti-American. It's going to be fucking spare change. I shouldn't even have to take a bus. It's just Chinese hoax and fucking climate change telling us to ride all these buses. You know, I want to drive my own truck. Like an American.
Welcome to the Dumb Job Post of the Week. The Dumb Job Post of the Week is sponsored by Amazon Weed.
Hey, do you like to get high?
Uh-huh.
You want to get even more high?
Yeah!
Then you need Amazon Weed. As soon as it's legal, not even your connection will survive.
But what about my girl Stephanie? She's got good bud.
She's going to have to come work for us in our warehouse greenhouse, including you. Amazon Weed. It's inevitable.
And thanks for our unfortunate sponsor. That really bummed me out. Without further ado, the dumb job post of the week belongs to...
Job scams. Job, really? Just all job scams?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of scams out there. When you're looking for a job, often you'll encounter a lot of these. And it's really sad in a way, but this one was pretty fucking terrible, so we're going to settle on it. This is out of the Tuscaloosa, Alabama Craigslist, and this ad, it's...
Craigslist.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't suggest Indeed and things like that, but I mean, over a Craigslist, yeah.
But the thing is, people fall for these sometimes, and it's really sad. So this one, I'm sure it's posted to a bunch of other different locations, titled... Easiest ways to make, and it's just bags of money, emojis. Easiest way to get money bags, make money bags now, work 2 hours a day. So it's promising they're going to get you rich on 2 hours a day of work. And there's a picture of what I think is Donald Duck in Smog.
It's actually Scrooge McDuck, the uncle of Donald Duck.
Oh, I didn't know that. But either way, there's also a picture.
Dark Tales, yeah.
There's also a picture of Joe Rogan with the caption, "Did you know the most millionaires were created from dot, dot, dot?" I don't get it.
What?
I mean, this should raise
a lot of podcasts. I mean, like,
well,
we don't make millions from this, folks. Please help us out.
Certainly. So anyway, this should raise red flags. And I know this is kind of a bottom barrel dumb job post, but it's just so dumb. It's so obvious. But there are people who are still really vulnerable and they might fall for something like this. So it goes through. It's saying, you know, this is the easiest way to make money and nobody's talking about it. And it doesn't really tell you what at all.
It's so, well, yeah, like literally here in the corner, compensation, $1,500 plus daily. Employment type, employee's choice. Do whatever you want.
It's like, how much money do you want to make today? 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000? We have people making more than $5,000 a day. Yeah, you, probably.
What are they doing? Anything they want.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I am going to do this for you all and take the hit. This is the things we do for Kiss My Working Class. I'm actually going to go to the site that it suggests I go to, and it says, I'm not going to put in my name, but it's asking you to attend a free web class now. And there's a timer, too, that... It's ticking down from like a minute and 10 seconds. So,
which it does all the time when you click it again, it'll just restart the timer. It's always at that.
But the thing is about job scams, people fall for them. And this one is just particularly dumb. And they need to up their game if they're going to scam more people, I'd hope. So,
the deucemeetings.com is the site, by the way.
Yeah. And you know what the funny thing is? So I screen capped this 3 days ago because I also flagged this job post because, you know, to be a good guy, someone might stumble into this. It's still up. That's what I don't understand either. But, you know, it goes through. There's this guy who's apparently making $5,000 a day. I think he's talking about himself or herself. And if they can do it, you can too. And then one of the top paying guys doesn't even have a GED or a driver's license. And it's like, you can start today. You don't need any of the other typical work items like a car, a degree, a computer, business knowledge, $1,000 inventory, work 8 hour days. You just clock in and just start making coins, golden coins that you can pay yourself.
I had to pay $1,000 to start at my last job.
I know. So it's like trying to like catch the people who've already been scammed before, maybe. I don't know.
This one sounds all right.
It's sad because people fall for these, and this one is just particularly bad.
Yeah, if you see like cartoon images and other podcasters that are more successful than us, you probably shouldn't like click further. That probably won't have anything to do with the job you're doing.
Yeah, anything with a picture of Joe Rogan and needing to make millions, you're probably not going to learn anything. Anyway, this has been the Dumb Job Post of the Week, sponsored by Amazon Weave. It's inevitable. And if you see a dumb job post, send it to us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other usual suspects. Thanks again for tuning in to the Dumb Job Post of the Week. And now, back to the show.
Hey everybody, Yusuf here from Kiss My Working Class. Do you want to see this show grow? If so, consider supporting us on Patreon. We're running a limited early bird special for our first 100 patrons at only a dollar. That's right, $1. Along with supporting our labor of love, you'll also have access to a private Discord community, ad-free episodes, special discounts on merchandise, and exclusive content. Your support in these early stages are absolutely critical to us. We put a lot of energy into giving you the best information you can use to fight for workers' rights. So sign up today, pay your union dues by going to patreon.com/kissmyworkingclass. Thank you so much for your support, and now let's get you back to the show.
And hey everyone, we're back from the Dumb Job Post.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb. And I know it was a little different than what we usually do, but I just had to bring it up. And it really ties into our discussion today about online job searching and online job posts, which, speaking of which, how's it been going for you, Pat, in your job hunt?
Man, I ended up applying to a job that I spent like a half hour tailoring the resume and writing a cover letter and everything. And the job was actually posted last year, but the company didn't take it down.
Ugh, that sucks, dude. What a waste of time.
Which is pretty ironic. You know, you'd think I'd have more free time without having a job, but I waste so much time with stupid stuff while applying for jobs, especially when I think everything's going good. And then they just don't respond back to me.
Oh, yeah, that does.
Oh, hey, man. My career coach is calling me again. Hello?
Hi there, Mr. Pat, yeah?
Yes.
Great. This is Chuck again from Careers Unlimited. I just wanted to check in. How's the job search going for you?
Well, I was actually just talking to my friend how it just seems to be a total waste of my time. There's probably a better way to go about this job searching than just looking online, isn't there?
You're funny. You're such a funny kidster. It's 2021. How else are you going to find a job? But listen, reason for the call. I've been creeping around your LinkedIn profile and noticed that it's, well, I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it got hacked quite a few years ago, and they just kept posting pictures of Macaulay Culkin on there. Then I kept getting death threats and job offers from B-class movie studios. It was a big hassle, so I just didn't want to bother with it. I just kind of abandoned it.
Oh, I love Macaulay Culkin. I hope you're not home alone.
Nope. But I got to get going again, Chuck. I'm kind of still in the middle of that something I was mentioning earlier.
All right, but you're still on the clock.
Wait, what?
Damn, dude, are you sure that this job company is legit?
You know, I have no clue at this point, but let's just get back to the show, all right?
Yeah, yeah. So along with the struggles that Pat's been encountering in his job search, a big part of the inevitable when you're looking for a job, and especially online, is employers ghosting you. And I think this is easy to do because it's such a faceless, personalityless process that it's all online. And it's just an awful practice overall that just needs to end. They're going to invite 40,000 people to apply for the same job. Then it's on them to tell all 40,000 of those people, even if it's a generic bulk email, they need to let everybody know that they need to look elsewhere.
Yeah, because I've had times where it's like 3 weeks after you apply where they like call back and ask. And yeah, I don't know what's behind that, but it gets to the point where like, what are you again? Oh, yeah. And you kind of seem like you're, you know, uninformed. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that from 60 applications I've done.
Yeah. Or the worst is when they forget to take down just super old job posts. And the worst part is on a lot of job sites, you don't see when it was posted. Indeed does this thing. I know we've been ripping on Indeed a lot, but it's probably the most widely used. That doesn't tell you when, just a date when the job was posted. It's like days, it's measured in days ago. And it's at the bottom of the job description. And there's also this really sneaky thing they do where it's like shows the employer was active 3 days ago when the job post is 3 weeks old. And at that point, you probably should just pass.
How needed is the job if it isn't filled after 2-3 months? Or like, what's that saying maybe about on your end if you can't figure out a way to fill that job within that amount of time? It's like, maybe you need to review it and offer more pay, better benefits, better schedule.
But yeah, chances are that the job's already filled.
Yeah.
If it's 30 days old. I mean, honestly.
Most of the time, yeah.
Since I've applied to a lot of jobs, I don't apply to anything when I do have to go online to look for a job or a gig or something. I don't even touch anything if it's older than 4 or 5 days. If it's like a job post that anybody nationally or internationally can apply for, probably a day.
My major pet peeve about the whole online jobbing thing, if I had to pick one thing, is like, God damn it, stop making me have to make a new login account for every single company ever.
Mm-hmm.
God, I have to memorize a password and a username, and each one's like has to be slight variations. And you know, if you, you know, have to apply for another job a few years down the road, oh, I ended up applying for this. They recognize my email, but goddamn if I knew what the username and password is.
The thing about that is I can easily email you my resume, a cover letter if you really want one, and my references. I can give you all this stuff like bundled up really nicely if you want. But if you make me do it twice or three times, why should I do that?
Yeah, what does it spit out on your end that looks different?
I'm getting you what you need. So why the extra hoop? It's outdated. It needs to change.
We don't have time. And speaking of that, I think we're out of time for today's episode.
Yeah, it's been fun complaining with you all about how broken online job searching is. I mean, it's something that, you know, Pat and I both have to legitimately do, and Pat's doing right now. And dude, your phone, is this that dude Chuck again? He keeps calling. I'm going to smash your phone. This is like the fourth time he's interrupted the show.
Yeah, I'm seeing it, man. It's Chuck. I am sorry. I'm just going to take this. I'm going to say bye to everyone ahead of time. Thanks for listening to us here on Kiss My Working Class. And hey, hello, Chuck again.
Hi, is this Mr. Pat?
You know, you ask me that every time, and every time it's me. I mean, do you have caller ID on your phone? Do you not save me?
Well, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I'm sending the invoice to the right person. Since you didn't cancel your free 12-second trial with Careers Unlimited, your bill is $9,732.
What? Is this a joke? Good Lord, that's almost 10 grand. I'm going to need a second job just to pay that.
Well, we do have a job that you might be interested to help pay off your debt. How good are you with a baseball bat?
I mean, I played baseball when I was a kid.
Well, here's what we're looking for. We're looking for a strong-armed individual to, well, strong-arm people who don't pay up. We've been having a lot of problems with that lately, and my cousin Vinny doesn't like late payments.
Whoa. Hang on. Oh, God. I think I know what you are now.
Holy shit, dude. Did you just hang up on the mob? How are we gonna pay for this? Are they gonna come and break my legs, too?
God, I don't know.
Shit, we're so fucked.
I know. Everyone out there listening, this is as good a time as any to remind you that if you want to support the show and get us out of this mess with the mob with our legs intact, then you should check out our Patreon page or check out our merch store.
Right now, we're running a limited time special for our first 100 patrons at only $1. So we need like 9,000 of y'all to sign up, please. I really like my legs and walking.
For some reason, if you don't care about our lovely kneecaps and are fine with us wearing cement shoes, you can help support our cause by telling all your friends about us. You know, no cost there. Let us in. All right, if we survive this, thanks for listening again to Kiss My Working Class.
Until next time, if there is a next time, hopefully, we'll see y'all later.